Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 16th day of June 2015. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. The state statisticians will be along to take up crop progress in their region. In particular, we're adding one this week. We'll get the update from Missouri. The northwestern part of that state has been really lagging behind. We'll hear that, of course, as we go through the crop progress numbers and throughout the day today. And John Newton will be here, too, to discuss in detail those crop progress figures. He released a map a couple of weeks ago, again this week, about how many acres of soybeans have yet to be planted as of, for this week, the June 14th date. That number, by the way, is 12 million, and if you just multiply it, that's the whole of the carryout for the 2015-16 years. That's not really quite the way it works, but you'll get the idea when we talk with John Newton, ag economist from the U of I, during this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, let's take a look at the numbers as they finished up. On Tuesday, up 5 3/4 in the July corn at 354 for their settlement price. September, 359 3/4. 7 cents higher. December, up 6 1/2 at $3.70. And the March corn at 6 higher, $3.81. The settlement price next year's July at 5 3/4 higher, $3.94 3/4. The settlement price. Soybeans rallied 19 3/4 cents in the July contract to settlement at 957. 7 1/2 today. August up 21 cents at 941 3/4. September 22 3/4 higher, 930 1/2 the settlement price. Your new crop up 23 1/4 cents, settled at $9.27 1/2. January 22 1/2, or rather 22 1/4 higher at 933 1/2. And next year's July at 19 1/2 cents higher, 943 1/2 the settlement price. Bean meal up $7.60. Bean oil up 21 cents. Chicago soft red winter wheat down 1/2 at 488 3/4. The hard red down 2 1/4 at 506 1/2. Live cattle futures from Chicago finished the June contract 2 1/2 cents lower at 152.15. August feeders at 224.85 were up 95 cents. And lean hogs in the July a dime higher at $77.30. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil for the day in the July contract at $60.06 a barrel, up 54 cents. Ethanol at $1.48. That's 2 2/10 of a cent higher. Gasoline on the RBOB price at $2.12 9/10, up 3 cents for the day. And the heating oil or diesel fuel at $1.88 6/10 is a penny and 6/10 higher. Natural gas at 6/10 of a cent higher, finished at $2.89 1/2. Dow Jones Industrial Average currently trading at 17,906 on the 10-minute delay, up 110 points. The dollar index is up 0.163 at 95.265. And gold futures for the day down $5 at $1,180.75 per a troy ounce. Here's what the weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area looks like today. A 30% chance of showers and thunderstorms. It'll be cloudy, a high of 82 degrees, a northeast wind at about 9 miles an hour this afternoon. Tonight, we'll increase the chance of rainfall to 50%. It'll remain cloudy, of course, a low of 63 degrees. Winds will turn to the east, northeast at 7 to 9, and then Wednesday showers and thunderstorms are likely. Cloudy, a high of 83. Again, east-southeast winds by then at 6 to 10. They'll turn all the way to the southwest in the afternoon. Chance of rainfall tomorrow set at 70%, and Wednesday night a 50% chance of rain. Cloudy and a low of 67. We'll still have those southwest winds with us, and 30, a 50% chance of rain, a high of 82. West-southwest winds at 7 to 11. Friday, a 30% chance of rain, partly sunny and 81. Saturday, partly sunny and 87. And on Sunday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mostly cloudy, a high of 86. We'll start the work week on Monday with sunny skies and a high of 83 degrees. A more complete look at the weather forecast comes up at the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with Don Day at Day Weather. He, of course, is in Cheyenne, Wyoming.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is Tuesday, the 16th day of June. On the phone line, Wayne Nelson at L&M Commodities. He's in New Market, Indiana. Good afternoon to you, Wayne.
Well, good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me about the rally that we saw across the grains and the oil seeds today. What sparked it?
Well, I think that number one, the crop ratings and crop progress yesterday was the initial driving force here. As we looked at the amount of acres of beans unplanted, yet there's 2.5 million acres of beans that are, you know, behind the average planting, so let alone the 8.46 million acres of beans yet to plant. And then, of course, you looked at the weather forecast, and it says it's going to be sort of wet the rest of this week. I think you just went through that, didn't you?
I did.
On the weather forecast. So, you know, that was the first thing that we looked at that way. And I think that basically yesterday, going to a contract low, closing off the low fairly well, and not being able to trade on down and trade up this morning, I got a few of the funds nervous, and the short covering seemed to perpetuate itself. But as we went on up to resistance points, we saw more fund buying.
And then the corn market, what do you see for that for the rest of the week?
As we looked, the crop ratings dropped a little bit. We're seeing a lot of extra water in a lot of places. And some people, you know, thinking that we're seeing some nitrogen leaching, and along with the grains, why would they turn around and were buyers there too. But we are seeing some areas that are extremely wet as far as some of the corn areas and a lot of ponding going on. I think we'll see a little bit of follow through, but I think we're going to probably see some consolidation, in the next 5 to 10 cents in the beans. And probably we're going to see some pretty strong resistance as we get through 72, 72 and a half, basically, on the December corn, Todd. You didn't hear much about the corn. There was a lot of people that were wondering here, you know, do we think we should go up here? A lot more talk of corn in the 380 type level on the December corn. 380 and above is, I think, we'll maybe see some. The July corn or the old crop corn out of the bin, we've seen farmers start to move some of that. I think that probably this weather has made a lot of the barnyards sort of soft with the rain, so maybe the movement has slowed down off the farm. But I think if we get up another 10 cents, why we'd see some interest again from farmers there. I think next Monday's crop conditions report will be lower. I think that we've seen a lot of rain, a lot of excess rain in different places, ponding, and maybe the idea that some nitrogen leaching could be taking place. So I expect them to drop a few percentage points in Illinois, Indiana, and probably Ohio. I think that depending on whether we see the shift that some were talking about after this week turning to more drier pattern or more of a normal pattern, a little bit warmer and drier weather, we're going to be watching that forecast very close. If that doesn't happen, I think that we will see some weather premium continue to be built back in.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thanks, Todd.
Wayne Nelson, of course, is with L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows as of the 14th day of June, that would have been Sunday, 97% of the corn crop had emerged around the 18 states that are reporting. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 95%. 59% of that crop in good condition last week. That number was 61%. 14% in excellent last week. The number was 13% last year. 17% of the crop, by the way, in excellent condition. 87% of the soybeans have been planted. Rolling five-year average is 90%, but there are a couple of laggards. Kansas, as we've talked about in the past, is just 57% planted. The rolling five-year average there is 85%. Missouri at 42% planted is way behind, but their rolling five-year average is 79%. 75% of the soybeans have emerged. The rolling five-year average is 77%. They're said to be in 56% good and 11% excellent condition. Last week, that was 58% and 11% respectively. Winter wheat harvest has begun across the nation. 11% is now harvested. That compares to the rolling five-year average of 20%. The condition of the winter wheat crop is 35% good and 8% excellent. That compares to 35-8 last week and 25-5 on the rolling five-year average. Now, here are the state statisticians with updates from their regions. This week, we're going to start a little differently. I pulled the audio from Missouri. Pay attention. It's a good listen.
This is Bob Greenham with the USDA's Missouri Crop Progress Report for the week ending June 14th. Though rains fell across all of Missouri again this past week, enough days were dry to allow farmers more time in the field than they have had in over a month. 3 days were suitable for field work on average across Missouri. Soybean planting progressed by 12 percentage points to 42% complete, but it's still the slowest start since 1995. Temperatures averaged 3 to 7 degrees warmer than normal. The northern third of the state experienced the most rain, with some areas receiving over 3 inches. The northwest district remains the wettest, with topsoil moisture rated 87% surplus and subsoil moisture rated 76% surplus. Corn planting was 93% complete, up 3 points from the previous week and 6 points behind the 5-year average for this time of year. 89% of the corn crop was emerged, 7 points behind average. Corn condition was rated 3% very poor, 12% poor, 33% fair, 47% good, and 5% excellent. In the Northwest District, corn condition was 37% very poor to poor. Soybean planting was 42% complete, up 12 points from the previous week, but 37 points behind average. 28% of soybeans were emerged compared to an average of 65%. Sorghum was 55% planted, 25 points behind average. Winter wheat was 4% harvested, compared to an average of 22%. Winter wheat condition was rated 1% very poor, 8% poor, 50% fair, 38% good, and 3% excellent. This is Bob Garino with the National Agricultural Statistics Service.
This is Brian Gallagher, agricultural statistician for USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, Iowa Field Office, with the weekly crops and weather report for the week ending June 14th, 2015. Sunny and warm temperatures early in the week spurred growth and fieldwork progress in Iowa. However, fieldwork slowed due to wet conditions during the latter part of the week. Statewide, there were only 3.2 days suitable for fieldwork. Activities for the week included planting, cutting and baling hay, and some spraying. Although some spraying was done early in the week, weeds remain a concern throughout the state as crop emergence continues and farmers are unable to get into their fields to spray. Dry weather prevailed over most of the state on Monday and Tuesday, while showers and thunderstorms brought rain to all Iowa on Thursday. Weekly rain totals were generally lowest across northwestern Iowa, with reports just south of Lake Park in Dickinson County of 0.43 inches. However, very heavy rain fell in other areas, particularly in the southwest and east central sections. The largest reported total came from north of New Market in Taylor County of 6.07 inches. Other hefty totals included 5.98 inches in Davenport, 5.37 inches near Amana, and 4.76 inches at Sydney. The statewide average precipitation total was 1.91 inches, while normal for the week is 1.19 inches. This was the highest weekly average in 39 weeks. A few of the thunderstorms over the southern one-third of Iowa were accompanied by large hail and or high winds on Sunday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Temperatures for the week as a whole averaged 3.2 degrees above normal. Topsoil moisture levels increased to 98% adequate to surplus. Subsoil moisture levels increased to 96% adequate to surplus. 98% of the corn crop has emerged, 6 days behind last year but 4 days ahead of the 5-year average. 84% of the corn crop was rated good to excellent. Soybean planting reached 93% complete, 2 weeks behind 2014, but equal to the average. Saturated soil conditions in southwest and south central Iowa continued to delay planting of their expected soybean acreage, with only 72 and 75% of their soybean crop in the ground, respectively. Soybean emergence reached 83%, 2 days behind normal. Soybean condition rated 80% good to excellent this week. This is Brian Gallagher reporting from the USDA NASS Iowa Field Office.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. I am reporting on crop progress and conditions for the week ending Sunday, June 14th. Significant rainfall and some flooding dominated the weather in Illinois last week. The state average rainfall was 3.24 inches, more than 2 inches above normal for the week. All parts of the state were at least 1 inch above normal precipitation. As a result of these rains, topsoil moisture increased to 1% short, 59% adequate, and 40% surplus topsoil moisture. Subsoil moisture is now rated 4% short, 72% adequate, and 24% surplus. Soybean planting inched up 2 percentage points to 90% complete, 4 points behind last year and 2 points behind the 5-year average. 84% of soybean acres have emerged, 4 points behind last year, but 3 points ahead of the 5-year average. The condition of the crop is rated as 5% of acres are in very poor to poor condition, 25% are fair, and 70% are in good to excellent shape. The corn crop is rated 4% very poor to poor, 20% fair, and 76% good to excellent. Wheat harvest has started in Illinois. 1% of wheat acres have been harvested, compared to 15% for the 5-year average. 10% of the wheat crop is rated very poor to poor, 35% fair, and 55% is in good to excellent condition. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Illinois Field Office of the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
This is Jessica Klatt with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 14, 2015. Storms and heavy rainfall brought unwanted moisture to many areas of the state, but dry conditions in some areas persisted. The statewide average temperature for the week was 75.6 degrees, 5.3 degrees above normal. Recorded precipitation ranged from 0.31 to 6.53 inches, with a statewide average of 2.21 inches. Winter wheat matured was 23% complete this week, compared to 11% last year. Winter wheat was 3% harvested this week, compared to 0% last year and 8% 5-year average. Some winter wheat fields that saw heavy rains and wind flattened out due to the excess water in the fields. Some corn and soybean fields have yellowed and show signs of oversaturation, leading to some concerns about the root conditions once the soils dry out. Farmers were unable to get into the fields to replant the drowned crops and spent much of their time digging drain trenches. Soybeans emerged was 83% complete, compared to 84% last year and 80% 5-year average. Watermelon plants have been set and pumpkin farmers prepared for planting. Other activities for the week included spraying fields, side dressing corn and wheat, hauling grain, and mowing roadsides. That concludes this week's Indiana Crop and Weather Report for the week ending June 14, 2015. This is Jessica Klatt reporting.
Our thanks to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the Midwest. John Newton, ag economist at the University of Illinois, is here now to take up the crop progress reports. He's been putting them into easy-to-consume maps and doing some analysis on them, posting them to the FarmDoc website, to his Twitter account. I've reposted them to my Twitter account. John, tell me what you've been up to and what you see.
This all started with a FOIA request from FSA to get the prevented planted acreage by county all the way back to 96. And what we wanted to do, and we put this out on our FarmDoc last week on June 12th, is look at our current crop progress and see what the implications are for prevented planting this year. And so with the slow pace of soybean planting that we've seen thus far for the 2015-16 crop, it looks like we're going to see above average prevent planting soybean, and that's all attributable to the rainfall. So places like Missouri and Kansas have a much slower rate of planting than they have in historical years. And so that's what we're trying to convey through the weekly crop progress report. We're putting it out on Twitter, and like I said, we had the FarmDoc article last week on the issue.
And if they want to follow you on Twitter, your Twitter handle is what?
New10, the number 10, underscore AgEcon. That's NEW10 underscore AgEcon.
And if you can't remember that, you probably can remember at Commodity Week, and then just search my tweets for John's name. You'll find it, or search Twitter for John Newton. And if you find Newton _ it's the Ag Econ that's going to tell you it's the right person. There are a couple of others out there, but John's the one with Ag Econ. When you put that together, some interesting things showed up. For instance, last week you suggested there were about 18 million acres of soybeans yet to be planted. This week when you went to that through that crop progress calculation, you came up with 12 million. How do you do that?
Well, we pull down the crop progress report information from NASS, and then we look at the intended acreage planted for all states, for both corn and soybeans. And so we look at the percent planted with the March intentions to see what exactly remains unplanted. So that's how we do it. It's fairly straightforward. And that's how we got the 18 2 weeks ago. We saw a bump up 6 million acres this week, and now we're looking at 11.7 million unplanted soybean acres thus far.
Can we determine anything else from those numbers?
Yeah, well, what we're going to do maybe later today or in the morning is we're going to look at the percent emerged and the crop conditions and the March intentions to get an idea on how much of the planted and emerged soybean acres are in poor or very poor conditions. The rainfall across parts of the country has been intense. I drove up to Wisconsin last week. A lot of beans are underwater. And so maybe we can get some idea on, of the beans that have emerged, how many are in pretty bad shape.
And you'll be posting that to the FarmDoc site as well as your Twitter account, or just to Twitter?
I'm ambitiously hoping to get it posted on Twitter sometime tomorrow morning.
So that's for soybeans. What about for corn?
A lot of people have been talking about corn prevented plant. And so 2 weeks ago, we saw just under 2 million acres of corn unplanted based on March intentions. And we made a lot of progress the past week. And so in this most recent crop progress report, we saw just over 500,000 of unplanted corn acres. Now, it's important to remember that's based on the March intentions. And so when we get the June 30 acreage report, we could see the numbers show some different values on planted acreage.
John, thanks so much. We appreciate you taking the time with us.
Thanks a lot.
John Newton, ag economist at the University of Illinois, joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Before I let you go, I know you're in your last week here. Where are you headed to?
Well, my wife, myself, and our new baby girl, we're headed to Washington, D.C. I took a job with National Milk Producers Federation, the dairy farm organization headquartered on Capitol Hill.
We're hoping to hear from you from there as well. Thanks, John.
Thanks a lot.
John Newton, ag economist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Fudge Day. Many people think fudge is an American invention. It's believed that the first batch was a batch of caramels that went wrong, thus the name fudge. The first known sale of fudge was in 1886 in Baltimore. The cost was 40 cents a pound. On this day in agricultural history in 1794, the first stone was laid for the world's largest grain windmill in Holland. Known as the Whale, it is still in existence today. In 1855, John Gorey died. Gorey received the first U.S. patent for mechanical refrigeration in 1851. In 1893, Cracker Jack was introduced at the Columbian Exposition in Chicago. By the way, the secret formula which prevents the molasses-coated popcorn from sticking together came 3 years later, in 1896. A prize in every box was introduced in 1912, and Sailor Jack and Bingo made their first appearance on the box in 1918. In 1903, a one-year-old company registered its trade name Pepsi-Cola. The original name was Brad's Drink, after Caleb Bradham, the pharmacist who developed the formula. Among the ingredients, carbonated water, sugar, vanilla, oils, pepsin, and cola nut extract. And in 1980, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled that patents could be issued for genetically engineered organisms. And that's this day in agricultural history.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon, the 16th day of June. Don Day is with us from Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Don, yesterday USDA NASS reported that Missouri and Kansas continue to lag behind in their soybean plantings. Hopefully they'll get into the field. However, they're awfully wet. And I think they remain that way and are concerned that they're going to continue to get rainfall in the coming week. What do you see?
Yeah, they certainly will. The opportunity for more rain in that part of the country, as well as all of the Midwest and Corn Belt and Southern Plains, are going to see more precipitation. Now, I will say that what we do have coming this weekend and next week is a warmer pattern. And the spacing between the systems that will cause the rainfall gets a little bit longer, a little bit more distance between systems. So there'll be some opportunity to get some drying, but there's going to be frequent opportunities for showers and thunderstorms moving through. If we were to look ahead the next 10 days and say, is it going to be as wet the next 10 as the past? No, probably not. But there's still going to be those opportunities for rain.
The warmer helps out the drying a bit, and maybe they'll get in and get things planted. We hope that that's the case for them. For the rest of the Corn Belt, this growing season has been interesting. In the northern part of Illinois, from Champaign County north, really, things have been awfully wet. Last week was terribly wet, a lot of rainfall there. What kind of conditions will they be looking forward to this week?
Well, certainly in the next 5 or 6 days, get ready for some more, and it's going to favor those northern areas again. We're going to see Minnesota, Iowa, all of Illinois, as well as Indiana and Ohio looking at showers and thunderstorms. Now, the northern areas that you just mentioned, while wet here on the first part of the forecast, does look a little bit drier next week. There are rain chances, but I think it's going to be the next 5 to 6 days they'll have to get through.
We have been building some heat into this time frame. Not much of a concern at this point, mostly helpful as it dries out some of the wet field conditions. But eventually that will become a problem. Do we have really excess heat at this point, and will it continue, do you think, over the next, I don't know, month or so?
In terms of excess heat, no. I think what we do have an opportunity as we get to the end of this month and into July is get temperatures back up to normal and maybe hold there a little bit more consistently. Excessive heat is just probably not in the cards. And one thing that you always look for is when the ground is wet, it's very difficult to get any substantial heat to stay long. Maybe the far southwest, maybe the far southeastern United States, but the nation's midsection is not going to have a hot summer.
All right, so that'll be good for pollination as we get into the middle part of July. Thanks so much for being with us. We do appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd.
That, of course, Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming, helps us wrap up this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. I'm Todd Gleason.